Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Everybody, guess what time it is? That's right. It's time for your after hours here on Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We've got Lene Oxley Loop with us today from Sugar's Barbecue. I always like to kind of play with people's names, and you've been around me long enough to know that I'll put the emphasis on different parts of the names just to make people pay attention.
And you're always welcome to do that, Jeff.
That's Thank you. A lot of things to cover here in after hours. We can go as long as we want, but one of the lightning round questions I didn't ask over the air, and you don't have to answer this one, but who is the best in barbecue besides you?
In terms of like, in general?
Just however you interpret the question.
Okay. Best in barbecue, probably, good Lord. You know, I have to say my sister in smoke, Danielle Domofsky, Diva Q.
Yeah.
She's everywhere. That woman is unstoppable. She's one of the best barbecuers that I know. There isn't anything that woman can't cook. And I look up to her as a mentor. I mean, as somebody who
she's
I want to.
She's not that tall, though.
She's not. No, I'm actually taller than she is. But that's kind of where I want to be. I want to be in her shoes. I want to be doing what she's doing.
Okay. What's the best barbecue book you've read?
Best barbecue book, and I have a ton of them. Probably Adam Perry Lang's Serious Barbecue is amazing. Nothing can substitute for, Barbecue Bible. I mean, mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Stephen Reichlin is just the godfather of writing these books.
He'll be on pretty soon.
Yeah, but my favorite by far probably is Serious Barbecue from Adam Perry Lang. It's the style I like to cook.
Sure.
It's with his roughness, with his raw kind of like, it's not crafted. It's not squeaky clean. It's like, it's good stuff.
Right there. I like that. Well, you already answered your fantasy question. If you missed the show, then you missed your answer to the fantasy question there, but that's cool. Do you remember, and I've asked you this before, do you remember the first thing you ever grilled or smoked?
I can imagine it was probably either a pork chop or a steak, just a regular, I kind of started with the heavier meats and then moved into chicken.
Okay.
But,
When you go out to eat, and you're in another part of the country.
Sure.
Okay. And if you're in Virginia, you're going to go to one of Tuffy's restaurants. Mm-hmm. If you're going to, if you're down south, you're going to eat with Myron or whatever. Okay. What is the most important thing to you when you're going to select a barbecue restaurant?
Probably, I like reading reviews on the social media,
right?
Online. I read the good reviews, I read the bad reviews, and I take sort of a common denominator between everything, and then I make my decision. I think every restaurant has a good day and a bad day.
Sure.
But I think that's kind of my initial entry into picking a restaurant that I've not been to. The other method is to ask people where they like, because nothing is better than word of mouth reviews. And that's when I'm, and I may know the people behind the scenes,
right?
The pit master, the people that own the place, whatever, because that's going to help immensely. Yeah. I always love seeing people, meeting people for the first time or seeing old friends. People ask me, if I go out and they eat barbecue a lot, and I really don't eat barbecue a lot.
I eat a lot of Chinese food.
I love, Asian food is great. I eat everything, but when I travel, I love to seek out, depending on where I'm at, I love to seek out barbecue restaurants.
Sure.
Yeah, it depends. If I'm going to, when I was in New York filming for Chopped, New York has everything you want in restaurants. But you know what? I was into Sichuan food. I wanted Asian. I wanted to find those pockets. I wanted Italian food. I wasn't seeking a barbecue in New York, even though there's probably good barbecue in New York. There's hometown barbecue in Brooklyn. Amazing. So that's what I do. That's where I go and get my influences from reviews initially, and then word of mouth.
The one thing I look for, not that I'm asking myself to answer this question, but the one thing that I look for, and not just in barbecue, but in any restaurant, is I look for consistency.
Yes.
You know, if I go and have a great time and eat, food was great, atmosphere is great, blah, 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 and you come back the next time and it's kind of half-assed, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was in the restaurant business. You've been in the restaurant business.
Mm-hmm.
You only get one shot, maybe two shots at these, at your potential customers.
Yep.
And if you blow half of it, you know, 50% worth, you're probably not on the list to come back. Yeah. And so my point in saying this, Lene, is that there are some chains, local chains around here and other chains of barbecue restaurants, like down in Texas and stuff. They may not be exactly what you and I would do, but you know when you go in there, the brisket is going to be this way, the ribs are going to be this way, the links are going to be this way.
Yep.
And it's very edible.
There are meccas of barbecue in Texas that I will go to all the time. Every time I travel, you know, even though I've been to, you know, Austin, for instance, a bunch of times, and I've been to other parts of Texas a bunch of times, I will pay homage to some of the old school, you know, tried and true legendary places. But I always, always try something new. I want to spread my money and support some of the guys, some of the people that are, and I don't care who tells you, barbecue is not an easy thing to create. I mean, it takes long hours. It's expensive. Especially in a place like Texas where it's hot, and there's a lot of overnight cooking, a lot of loss of sleep to produce something.
Yep.
And think about it. If you think about it, you know, you've made a brisket, for instance, and you've put 12, 13 hours of care and, you know, feeding this brisket for you to give me a slice of it and go, eh. That's huge, right?
Right.
So good days, bad days. Restaurants have them. A lot of times if I have a bad experience at a restaurant, I'll go back there and I will try it again. And if there is then a consistency with something that's maybe off, I won't go back, or I'll give them another shot or something.
Right.
You know, I'll have a little bit of retrospect. But I mean, if I'm having a bad experience, it depends on where that bad experience is. If it's an overall general feeling of bad experiences with service and food, it probably won't go back.
Yep.
If it's just one thing, I can overlook that and I can take the best of the what I did have.
Right.
And then maybe go back there or not or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's a tried and true idiom, right? People that have a bad experience at a place will tell 10 people. People that have a good experience of somewhere will tell 3. Right?
Yep.
Bad news travels way faster than good news.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look at the coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I drink Tecate.
Well,
that's, you know, if you think about it, I mean, that whole thing is so overblown. Unbelievably over in my you know, people are just going nuts, and there was SARS and the bird flu and then the H1N1 and then
Ebola or whatever,
Ebola, and then the sky's falling and all the things that have happened that we have long since forgotten about. I just think they're all honestly manufactured distractions. Now people that get sick aren't going to say that. They're going to say, Lena, you're full BS. But I think to a certain extent, wash your damn hands. Keep your fingers out of your mouth and just play smart, but don't get reactionary and don't get alarmist. It's okay.
We
have bills to pay. The sky is not falling. The sun will come up tomorrow. It will be okay.
The guy, the one doctor said last night, I was watching the news for just a minute, and he said, you know something? He goes, we have 40,000 people a year that die from the flu.
Just a plain old air, ordinary
flu.
Yeah,
just old, good old influenza.
Absolutely.
He goes, this has been around now for like 3-4 months, really, and we've had 6 people die in this country. He goes, he looked at the camera and he said, media, shut up. He goes, you're not covering what we should really be looking at. So anyway.
Well, the other thing too is that, I mean, this is from my own personal standpoint, take it whatever you want. People spend too much time worrying about what the media is telling them. That's half the losing battle right there. I, for the most part, don't pay attention to the media, because I think the media is skewed no matter who you listen to. And it's just, I get my information from multiple sources. I make my own decision, filter it through whatever filters I want, yep. and then make, you know, go about my life because I've got things to do.
That a girl. That a girl.
That's what I do.
Okay. Favorite movie?
Bad Santa.
Do you like Bad Santa?
I love Bad Santa. It's my top movie is Bad Santa.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just funny. It's hilarious.
Well, it is funny. Do you have a favorite event when you were competing? Did you have one that you like to go to all the time?
You mean event itself or meat that I like to cook?
Well, let's start with the event itself.
The event itself, one of my favorites was when I competed. Boy, I had a lot of them, but one of them was the state fair. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of action. A lot of teams would show up, good prize purse, and that attracts a lot of people. One of my favorite events I also loved, this was very early on when I started barbecue, was we got a chance to, and I did this for 2 years, set up right at Pike Market in Seattle, on the cobblestones. We hauled our cookers there, our trailers and this and that, right there where the flower vendors were, and we smoked up the place. And that was one of the coolest things in the world to do because I was there in Seattle, right by Pike Market, known worldwide, and I was there barbecuing, and it was the coolest thing in the world.
Do you know that I barbecued once in a parade?
You mean on a float?
No. Oh, okay. It was on the street, on Broadway, here in Portland. Mm-hmm. Channel 2 at the time didn't have a parade. Channel 6, Channel 8, Channel 12, they all had parades they covered. Channel 2 didn't have a parade, so they went out and got a parade. And it was the 4th of July parade. And so they asked me to come in and cook on the parade, and I did. So we hauled a couple of grills down there, set them up on Broadway in the street, not on the sidewalk, in the street. And so, and as they were coming by, I was cooking. Sometimes I would pass food off to people in the floats. And then I did my segments, had a couple segments like that. And the homeless guys were coming up and they kept, you know, kind of creeping in and stuff. So finally I went and I had a talk with them. I said, if you guys don't bug me during the show, I promise I will feed you when we're done.
Sure.
And they did. They all sat like little kids, like little kindergartners against the wall. And they just waited so politely, you know, like that. And when it was done, there was like six or eight of them. And I fed them.
Yeah.
And they were happy.
You made true on your word.
Yeah.
And you followed through. I'll say that.
But I cooked in a parade.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I wonder if you could cook in a parade and throw hot drumsticks at people.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm
not sure. Yeah. You know, one of the other places I really loved to cook was, you know, I cooked at the Royal and I cooked at the Jack Daniels. I mean, that's the epitome of cooking barbecue was at the Jack Daniels Invitational World Cook-Off. That is just the coup de grace of cooking competitions.
Right.
Everybody wants to go there. Just because you qualify to go there doesn't mean you are going to get selected to go there. It's a lottery kind of thing. You get your bung drew and then it's
right.
And then you get invited to go out there and you can compete. And that's just the coolest thing ever.
What, we talked a little bit about this in the regular show.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the biggest change should be made in competition barbecue?
I've said this for years. I think, honestly, in my opinion, and I go on record saying this, I think judges should be recertified probably every 2 to 3 years of barbecue.
Right.
I don't think that just once, because you took a barbecue class 10 years ago, you should be qualified to be judging barbecue now, today, this season. I think you should get recertified. I think tastes change. I think applications change. Rules don't. With how you can turn in and what you can turn in and what you can cook with and under and over. But flavor profiles can change and do change. And it's nice to have something more refreshing. Even though I'm not in the game anymore, I think judges should be recertified. I've said that for years and years, and to this day I maintain that. And if Emily was sitting here, I'd say right to her face. I would say, you know what?
We talked about that.
Yeah.
We talked about that when she was on the show.
I think to a certain extent, I think a lot of people, I think more than none, I think people do agree with that. It's just how do you go about implementing that rule, you know?
Well, I'll tell you how, because I did it in the horse business, because I had several different licenses, 7 at one time, for different breeds or different organizations. We had to go to school, depending on your level and your seniority. The minimum you had to go back was every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it were 3 and 2 years. You had to go back and go to school. You had to sit through the classes. You had to take the tests.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were recertified like that. Your ranking, they were, you know, large R, small R, whatever like that. And I think that would be fairly simple to do to the folks that are judging barbecue competitions.
Yeah, and the other aspect, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, the declining attendance with barbecue competitions. And a number of years back, when I was heavily in the game, there was, and every once in a while it comes up, like charging tax in Oregon, sales tax in Oregon. It's the idea to allow gas cookers into KCBS-style, you know, sanctioned events. And the people are like, you know what? Some people are like, no, you shouldn't do it. Some people are like, you know what? Bring it. If you think you can cook on gas better than I can cook on my charcoal or wood or offset or whatever, go for it. A contest is a contest is a contest. And I'm kind of along those lines. I think if you want to attract more people, you need to sort of really look at the format of what you're doing and has worked, but people are dropping off. They're not doing, you know, they're not competing as much. It's an expensive thing. Open it up a little bit, loosen up those rules a little bit, and allow people to bring their gas cookers in. And I think you would see a little bit of an increase in attendance.
Well, they do have some, but they're kind of an ancillary thing now at the Royal, off to the side, but they're not in the main cooking part.
Okay.
They're kind of like sides, or they have best sausage award on a gas grill. But I mean, it's it's not as meaningful as brisket or whatever.
Yeah, sure. I mean, listen, designer meat and the cost thereof is always going to be a factor. I mean, people are using very, very expensive products to turn into the judges and things like that. But if you can't stop that, which I don't think you should, then at least try to look at other avenues to attract more people. You know, again, back while I was saying, the steaks are taking a huge heat. I mean, there's a lot of people, there's a competition next weekend and they're in Redmond. I may show up to that. I don't know. I'm not sure. I've got some things maybe working. I could show up. But part of that contest, other than the four meats, is a salmon contest. There's a burger contest. And there's a steak, SCA sanctioned event. If I'm going to go up there, I'd like to just go up there to do steak. And just to burn some steak and just to see. I've always wanted to cook competition steak. Never have. Yeah. I've cooked steak a million times, but not in a competition standpoint.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see. And with the SCA, they don't care what you cook on. They just, you pick your steak and you turn it in a box. There's no garnish. Make sure the string is cut off if you use it. You turn it in and then that's that.
Yep.
That's it. And then what happens, you know, see what happens. But I mean, everybody likes to cook steak.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like is you got to cook it to medium. That's one of the rules. I don't like cooked medium steak. I like medium rare steak.
Yeah.
But anyway.
MR.
Yeah, MR. Yeah.
You need MR.
That's not for me. Cook for the judges.
Oh, no. My dad, my God. He was a pan fry guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, my dad was too. We didn't grow up with the grill. We did grow up with the broiler and the pan.
Yeah. Yeah. And everything was medium brown.
Oh, okay. Well, my dad
a lot of gravy.
My dad liked rare beef. He liked it. Pretty much just waved over the coals, or so to speak. Yeah. And you just seared, and then served it up. And that was a little bit too raw for me. So I grew up, for the most part, with a medium rare. And
I love medium rare.
Medium rare hamburgers, medium rare steak, you know.
I'm getting hungry.
I know, me too, right?
But my dad was all pan-fried, potatoes, gravy, that kind of stuff. I mean, and so
old school. There's always bread and butter at the table, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Was there always bread?
Oh, yeah. Bread and butter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
That's awesome.
But when I started to cook, first thing was the broiler, you know, started using the broiler more.
Yeah.
Went outside, of course, and did all this. And my steaks were always, you know, thicker, juicier, more medium rare, you know, lots of juices like that. And he'd say, take this back and cook it till it's dead. So, anyway, it was
cook it till it's dead.
Tell people again how they can get a hold of you and what's going on with you.
You can find me on Instagram at SugarsBBQ. You can find me on Facebook under my name, Lene Oxley-Loop, or Sugars Barbecue, all spelled out, and also sugarsbarbecue.com. You can order products. Sign up for my classes. Please do. There's lots of room. We've got lots of really cool classes coming up this season, and I'd love to see each and every one of you. Those are some ways you can find me.
There you go. Yeah. Well, thanks for sticking around doing the After Hours.
JT, you're the best. You're one of my favorite shows. I love you.
Take care.
Thanks.
We'll be back next week. Imagine that, with another edition of Barbecue Nation After Hours. Until then, remember our little sign, turn it, don't burn it. You think about that. You got to do that. Turn it, don't burn it. We'll see you then.